I was bound to something bigger and more important than a single human life. I wore my uniform with honor. My service was not a sacrifice. But what saves you in the battle can kill.
Oh. Mary Gaucher has always had the uncanny ability to translate what's deep down in the gut and put it into song. Sometimes even things we don't like to talk about are made palatable. Her most recent project came out of songwriting workshops she did with former soldiers, a safe place where she helped them process and articulate some of the feelings and realities they were left with in the aftermath of war. The album is called Rifles and Rosary Beads, and it was recently nominated for a Grammy Award. Not long before the album was released, Mary sat down with me to talk about the project and play a few songs. Let's listen. We are live in studio with Mary Gaucher. Hey, Mary, thank you so much for coming in.
Hey, it's good to be here in this beautiful air-conditioned studio.
It's nice and cool up here. It's a long, hot walk up those stairs. And your guitar was radiating heat when you walked in, but it's cooler now, you said.
Yeah, it's nice in here. Thanks for having me.
We were talking about your guitar before you went on. I asked you if all that wear and tear was put on by you, and you said yes. That's pretty spectacular.
I like beat up boots, beat up guitars, beat up jackets.
Beat up people are some of my favorite.
Beat up people. yeah. I really do. I like the broken inness of this old guitar. It's taken a while to make it mine, but now it's like a part of my body.
And you said it's a 50 something?
It's a 1950. Yeah, right. Gibson.
Guitar people always want to know about the guitars. It's funny, when I post photos, sometimes people ask, what is that guitar they're holding there? So thank you.
Yeah.
So I've bumped into you a couple times around town. I wanted to thank you also for being one of those people who shows up, when there's a cause or a need or something. You're often there. And I saw you at the Planned Parenthood benefit the other night, which was a great evening of song and solidarity.
Yeah, what a great community, huh? The community around Planned Parenthood, working towards keeping them open here. They shut down a lot of clinics in Iowa day before yesterday, defunded by the government. We got to take care of women and children. Whenever I can, I do show up. I believe in those causes, and it's my privilege to be a musician, and I like using this privilege to the good of others, particularly women and children.
Yes, the people who need it the most. Yeah, women are getting disenfranchised. One of the things I've been following is you've been working with soldiers on the Songwriting for Soldiers project, and you followed a veteran who did 422 miles in a wheelchair.
That's right, he sure did. Yeah, I'm part of an organization called Songwriting with Soldiers.
With Soldiers.
Right, we don't write for them, we write with them.
Right.
And basically, what we do is we go to a retreat center with four songwriters, 10 or 12, sometimes even up to 15 veterans, and we listen to their story, and we turn that into a song. And so at the end of a retreat, a two-day retreat, every veteran leaves the retreat with a song of their own, with the words that they've used to tell us about their life. And we take their oftentimes trauma and turn it into music. And there's something really sacred that happens in that exchange.
Wow.
You can see inside of a person through a song. And so many of our veterans are invisible because of, I think, the nature of being a soldier and the nature of trauma. There's so much that happens that there's really no words for. And that's where music can kick in and kick on. I can play a melody for you to reflect my emotional state, and you'll know what that feeling is. You'll recognize it. And so, yeah, it's a great privilege, again, to be a part of an organization that does this work. If the listeners want to check it out, there's a beautiful website, songwritingwithsoldiers.org. And there's over 400 songs now up post-archived. So we've really got the Civil War diaries of our time, of the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Wow, that's really remarkable. And it seems like you're the perfect person to work with a group like that, because your songs in particular, you have a way of sort of digging into the soul and doing that thing where, I know it when I feel it. It's hard to articulate feelings, but you do it so well. And I think a lot of people can recognize themselves in some of the words you sing. And
yeah, thank you. I come at songwriting from desperation. So much of what I do is about saving my own life. I mean, I use this art form as a lifesaver, really. I don't really write many light, happy, bouncy songs. That's not what I'm called to do. I do it in moments of difficulty. That's when I'm called to write, is to sort out situations that trouble me with music. And the music provides medicine for my soul, and then I bring it out in the world, and I'm lucky enough to have people tell me it helps them too. But in all honesty, I'm doing it to save my own self. And I think that's you're right, that pairs well with working with veterans, because I've got the ability to go there. I'm not scared of going there. In fact, that's what I do. Go to the source of the pain. Like a fireman, a firewoman.
You run towards the
burning building. Everybody's running out. I'm running towards it, and that's the only way I can get the fire out.
Well, it's important work, and I think people do have trouble looking at that, hearing it, but music makes it go down a lot easier, I think. People can hear things in a song maybe that they couldn't tolerate, you know, otherwise.
I agree. And you know, I always tell my students, I teach songwriting quite a bit. I tell my students, songs are what feelings sound like. So we sing emotion to remind ourselves that we're not alone, because people relate to the composition, and then we go, oh, okay, so other people have felt that way. And so there's a reciprocity to it, there's a back and forthness of it, that makes it a bridge to other hearts and souls. It's a sacred profession in many, many ways. Of course, it's been made profane by the industry.
Yes.
But it remains a sacred profession if you choose to approach it that way.
Well, this might be a perfect time to cue up. You said you were going to play a veteran song.
I got one.
Us.
Yeah, sure.
I'd love to hear it.
Sure. I wrote this with a young man named Jamie Trent. And he served in Desert Storm. And he was in the Navy. And we were talking about Veterans Day, which is November the 11th. And he said, Mary, I don't know if you know this, but on Veterans Day in the United States, Cracker Barrel gives everyone with a military ID free breakfast.
I've heard that.
I didn't know that. Did you know that? And I thought, my goodness, that is the sweetest and saddest thing I've heard all day. I mean, it's bittersweet,
yes,
right? It's like,
it
man,
is.
You put your life on the line for the country, and you get bacon and eggs.
Maybe some hash browns. Wow. That sums it all up really nicely. Enjoy your breakfast, yes.
Thanks. Yeah, so I'm thinking, all right, there's that. And so I started working with him, and we wrote this song called Bullet Holes in the Sky, if I can remember the beginning of it, because I was thinking of this other song, so let me see how this goes. Hang on a second. I've lost the song, so...
You said the other night, if you can get the first word.
If I can get that first word, yeah.
The song follows. If the word's not there, the song is gone. We can do another one.
Yeah, let me do that other one I was thinking about. I've got a geriatric situation here.
If you want me to Google something for you while you're playing,
Google,
I can do that.
Well, it's a newer song, so I can't Google it just yet, and people haven't posted it. So let me do this other song that was in my head and dispose of that, and then we'll get back to the bullet hole song, if that's all right.
Yeah, it'll probably pop back in.
It's not gone. It's just temporarily hiding. This is one I wrote after the election. A truck stop drunk shouts the national anthem at a waitress pouring coffee with trembling hands, and the TV screen on the wall keeps screaming, make America great again. And an old man facing hands we in a booth in the back alone, and a child said, "Daddy, why is he crying?" And her father grabs her hand and says, "We're going home." Life sure gets lonesome, and love is hard to find. And truth gets lost in the telling. In a world that's turned unkind,
kind of summed it up right there, didn't it?
It's mean out there. It's gotten mean out there. It sure indeed has.
The world has turned unkind in so many ways. We were talking before the show about what a sweet spot it is in Nashville right now, that musically, and that there are a lot of musicians doing good works and good things and supporting each other and writing powerful songs.
Gosh, and you know, being in Nashville right now is incredible. It feels like West Bank Paris in the 20s or something. We're in a renaissance period, and I went out to Radio Cafe last night, and song after song after song after artist after artist after artist was just clear-eyed, focused, writing at the top of their game. There's a beautiful thing happening here right now, and I'm just amazed by the... I mean, we're deep. We're knee-deep in greatness here in this town right now, and it's not just music. The galleries are opening right and left. There's painters, there's writers, there's poets. I was at a podcast event last night for this new podcast coming out of Nashville called Versify.
Ooh, I haven't heard of that one.
It's a beautiful, beautiful podcast where they interview someone for 20 minutes, go away for 15, come back with a poem about that person's life. And it just, again, shows the inside of the person really beautifully. And you get a glimpse of a spirit. And so the you know, the magic of art is that you get to see the inside on the outside, and you can discard the externals, you know, race, age, sexual preference, nationality, gender, and see the spirit. Art gives us a glimpse into the human spirit, and I feel like Nashville's on fire with that right now. It's incredible, really.
It's great to hear you say that as somebody. I think of you as sort of a songwriter, and I feel that way. Certainly being a non-musician, I feel really privileged, you know, to sort of be here and experiencing it. And I'm hoping that Nashville's sort of crazy, swift gentrification and monetization doesn't sort of drive this away too soon. I saw it happen in New York City before I left, and, you know, I'm worried that it's going to crowd people out a little too quickly, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's the rapid growth is unsustainable. I can't continue at this rate. There's no way. It's too much. It's too fast. But I think that the proliferation of creativity and incredible creative types, I think that having everyone here right now is significant. And I'm just amazed at the depth of it. And it's a great time to be in this town. I feel it now more than ever.
And how long have you been here, Mary?
I came here in 2001.
Okay, so you've been here through a lot of change.
I have, yeah. I came here right at the end, I think, of the, what would I call it, the old Nashville. You know, you could still go, there was still Miss Betty at the breakfast place, at the diner sort of situation, southern food diner at the restaurant, who talked about having served, you know, Waylon and Willie.
Oh,
and there
wow.
were still people from Hank Williams' entourage who had signed their guest book. Miss Betty had worked there 34 years serving biscuits and grits to people. And so I got to be a part of the tail end of that. There's still the bungalows on Music Row that weren't corporate. There's still some of that, but... the nature of the songwriting's changed a lot to meet the marketplace, which has changed dramatically in the 17 years I've been here. But there are still folks doing the story songs, and it was a different time. It really has changed a lot, but I got to be a part of that. And, of course, I experienced the great joy of being on Lost Highway Records, which was really an Americana label. They struck gold with Oh Brother Art Thou, their first release. And it was a major label, and we're still able to be part of the major label system and do it on my terms, which was a blessed thing. So I got to be label mates with folks who were renegades, and that was a whole lot of fun. And now, while it's different, I think independence has its real benefits. You know, I'm working with 30 Tigers, and I get to own my own records now and get the support of the major label distributions, but I am the record company, while the business has changed, I think artists are experiencing opportunities to be entrepreneurs in ways that you couldn't in the old model.
That is true. Yes, that's true, and it's been sort of fun to watch friends of mine sort of. I don't know if you've heard of Cafe Rooster Records, Brian Wright.
Of course,
Wright,
yeah,
Day,
yeah. We're coming out with Songs of Resistance.
Oh, you're
record.
On that. Very cool.
Yeah, I did a recut Mercy Now. In fact, I probably should play that next. Yeah, I recut Mercy Now for that compilation.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay.
What's it called? Songs of Nashville, Songs of Resistance?
Songs of Resistance, I believe, yeah. They just came out with some T-shirts, I know. And they're an example of people who are doing great work, you know.
Yeah, man asked me to do it, and we recut Mercy Now. I'm proud to be on that. Radney Foster's got an amazing song on that. Again, the list of great artists and great songs on that record... through Cafe Rooster, thank you folks for putting it out, is symbolic of what's going on in our little town right now, our not-so-little town.
Not so little anymore. And I almost feel like there are two Nashvilles. You know, there's the Music Row Nashville, which is totally divorced and separate from all the stuff we're talking about, which is sort of operating on another level.
Yeah, know? Well, that's a corporate reality. That is a, you're swinging for a home run in that reality. I mean, you've got to... You've got to monetize $1.5 million investment with your first record, or they're going to drop you. So you've got big stakes in that world, and so it's a parallel universe, actually. But we independent sorts get to benefit from the infrastructure that supports that.
If you know how to use the system to your advantage, I suppose.
Yeah, you do. You get to use the infrastructure that's in place for that when they're not using it. You know, like at 2 a.m. or something, you get to go to Sound Import. I mean, you've got the industry here, and every now and then they do record our songs.
They do.
I got a Tim McGraw cut and a Blake Shelton cut and a Jimmy Buffett cut and
Mailbox Money.
It happens by being here, and it happens through their publishing companies. And I think it's good to be in this town with that. The industry, the money does in some ways trickle down to some of the songwriters. My friends certainly benefited, as did I, from the Nashville television show. Which was
a big boon for a lot of
Americana songwriters. Cali, in particular, was focused on the songwriters, and when Buddy was putting the songs on, he definitely spread the wealth amongst a lot of songwriters who would have never had national exposure without his generosity and willingness to put some really good songs on national television.
They did a great job with that. They sure did.
Yeah, so it's good. It's just all good. I think we're in the right place at the right time.
I sure feel that way. Well, how about a little Mercy Now?
Well, my father sure could use a little mercy now. The fruits of his labor falling right slowly on the ground. His work is almost over. Won't be long, he won't be around. I love my father. He could use some mercy now. And my brother sure could use a little mercy now. He's a stranger to freedom, shackled to fear and doubt. That he lives in, it's almost more than living will allow. I love my brother, he could use some mercy now. My church and my country, they could use a little mercy now. As they sink into a poison pit, it's gonna take forever to climb out. They carry the weight of the faithful who follow them down. I love my church and country. They could use some mercy now. Every living thing could use a little mercy now. Only the hand of grace can end the race. Towards another mushroom cloud. There's people in power who'll do anything to keep their crown. I love life, and life itself could use some mercy now. Thank you. Y'all could use a little mercy now. Oh, I know we don't deserve it, but we need it anyhow. We hang in the balance, we dangle between hell and hallowed ground. And every single one of us could use some mercy now. Yes, every single one of us use some mercy now.
I didn't cry. I think that may have been one of the few times I didn't cry when I heard that song. You did something the other night, which was in a way really simple, but so powerful. You sang "This Land Is Your Land" in a room full of people and got us all harmonizing. And I think every hair on my body was standing up, because that's one of those, sort of like Mercy Now, it's one of those timeless songs that is just, I don't know what else to say, but it's just so powerful. And for that room full of people, it was a really emotional moment, I think. Feeling it right now, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
To be reminded that this land is indeed our land.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was over in Europe. I was teaching songwriting up in Scotland for a week, and then I did a string of shows. And somewhere along the way, it occurred to me that I should open every show with that song and sing it quite slow. You know, they're going through this very similar struggle in the United Kingdom right
now. Yes, they are.
Very, very similar struggle with the same players having, in many, many ways, sabotaged their democracy. So there's a resonance. You know, a true song, if you nail it, it doesn't get less true over time. It gets more true over time. I remember an interview with Gillian Welsh, one of my songwriting heroes, many years ago, maybe 15 years ago, and in the interview, someone asked her about the timeless nature of her songs and how they feel like they exist outside of time, and how they're just so incredibly beautiful. And she said, "Well, look, we won't know if these are timeless songs unless people are playing them 50 years from now. So thanks for the compliment, but we don't know yet." And I think there's a lot of truth in that.
Well, when I was listening to you sing Mercy Now, I was sort of wondering to myself whether you've ever had to change the lyrics to make them timely or anything. And then my second thought was, well, no, of course not, because it has that quality to it.
It's so mysterious, because I wrote that in 2002 when it was clear we were building up to a war that I didn't want to go to. I was adamantly opposed to the war in Iraq. And I was terrified of the Kim Jong-un's father, the dictator up in North Korea, who was doing nuclear tests at the time.
Scary stuff.
And simultaneously, Catholic priests were being hauled into the courtroom in Boston in their collars, one after the other, after the other, after the other, somewhere in the nature of 70 priests in the Boston area. That's what I was writing about in Mercy Now. And then fast forward, what is it now? It's 15 years later, and we've got a very similar situation. Number three at the Vatican was...
That was just yesterday, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Brought down back to Australia to be on trial for crimes against children. I don't know if he's guilty or not, but he's definitely gone. He's been charged.
He sure has. I don't think they'd charge him without some sort of...
Yeah, so we, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same, and the song remains true in ways that I could have never. The songwriter doesn't know what's going to happen, but the song does. Songs are prescient. They have a predictive force to them that comes through us more than from us as songwriters, and you know when you catch one of those. You don't know what's going to happen, but you know that the song has a wisdom that's greater than the wisdom of the writer. I mean, it takes the skills of a writer to get it, but something very big comes through every now and then. And those are the songs I hope for, you know.
I love the way you describe it, for your, that process for yourself, that it sort of comes to you as if it's a calling, and it, you know, I sort of feel that way about poetry. I don't really think about things too hard. They just kind of rattle around in my head for a while, and they come out in a certain form, you know, and I don't know where that comes from either, but...
We channel it. We and do. It comes from, I think the creator plays a part in creativity. It's a partnership. You know, I can get in the way of it, or I can try to tap into it, and it responds when it feels like it. It doesn't take requests. It comes when it comes.
Yes, you can't force this stuff.
No, my job is to sit alone in a room in silence and stay away from the Twitters and stay away from the Facebooks and just suffer until I get some static on the radio, you know. And oftentimes it's grueling and painful and difficult. Songwriting is not easy. It's actually quite difficult.
I can imagine it would be sort of painful sometimes, too, because you're opening wounds and looking deeply into darkness, you know?
The darkness and the pain is already there. The song actually can help with it more than hurt. Although sometimes going back into things that I'd rather not think about can sort of reopen it. But in the end, I think the song, more than anything, it comes to help us. And I hate to use that overused word, heal. I'm not sure about healing. I think it helps move things through me so that other people can go, me too. I can know I'm not alone. And in that connection, there's something that happens that is transformative.
I think it is healing, and I think it's therapeutic. I mean, it may not be a cure, but it certainly helps with some things to end isolation. I think if you can recognize yourself in, you know, sort of a bigger picture within a song, you feel less isolated. One does. And it's also... to be able to express certain things is hard for people.
Right? Well, I remember when I had the great opportunity to be on the road with Willie Nelson.
Wow.
And I asked him about that. I said, Willie, how come people like the sad songs the best? He said, because they tell themselves, well, look, if that can happen to Willie, who am I to complain?
Nice.
You know? Gee, Ain't It Funny How Time Slips Away. Those songs, those classic sad songs, Crazy, The Nightlife. Those, we know him for those songs. And he told us through those songs that, yeah, it happens to me too.
Wow.
You know, and in that act of I think, vulnerability in those songs, he allows us to be a human as well.
Nice.
Like, it happens to everybody. We're not singled out by an angry God for things that we did that we're being punished for. It's just the human condition. And that's what I think draws us to the more melancholy songs, which I love the best.
Yeah, I do too. That's one thing John Byrd specializes in, the pitiful songs. And we have a meter, you know, the pitiful meter. How sad is this one? But boy, it's you feel your blood pressure go down.
Well, my friend Gretchen Peters has this great T-shirt she's selling right now on her website. It says, "Sad songs make me happy."
That's good. I have to get one of those.
It's a perfect shirt.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Well, how about another song there, Mary?
You want to hear This Land Again?
I would love to.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful, beautiful song. It's one of the most beautiful songs ever written about America, in my opinion. And it's not just America, because they truly relate to it in other countries. I remember when Bush was president and anti-American sentiment was through the roof in Europe. I'd never experienced something like that as an American. I mean, I would go to places and hear people say these horrific things about Americans, and it just hurt. I mean, I took it personally. It hurt. And I realized, my God, there's this because of the war, there's this unified Europe against us, and
wow.
And it was painful to me. And what I figured out would work as a songwriter, instead of talking about politics, is just go ahead and play some Woody Guthrie songs, and suddenly
there you go.
Their guard goes down. They realize, oh, we're not on separate sides. I mean, Woody is the cure for so many things, and remains incredibly relevant many, many, many years. I mean, he wrote these songs in the 50s, didn't he?
Yes, I think so.
I was walking, ribbon of highway, I saw above me the endless skyway. I saw below me the golden valley. This land was made for you and me. I roamed and rambled, I followed my footsteps o'er the sparkling sands of her diamond desert. And all around me a voice was sounding, this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. The sun came shining and I was strolling, and the wheat fields waving and the dust clouds rolling, and the fog was lifting, a voice was whispering, this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. Tried to stop me. A sign was painted, said private property. But on the back side, didn't say nothing. That sign was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
Yeah, right on. It sure was. Thanks, Mary. That was beautiful. Timeless, timeless song. So you had mentioned during the last song that you remembered the veterans song.
Yeah, the veterans song came flooding back in during the middle of Mercy Now.
Isn't it funny how synapses work that way? They just sort of fire off at will.
Oh, my God. You know, I don't know what I'm going to remember or forget at any given moment. I've learned to just roll with what's left of my brain.
How much do you rely on notes and things when you have a gig, or do you just kind of wing it?
I wing it. I forget stuff in the middle now, and fans will shout it out to me.
Nice.
And, you know, I've got to laugh it off. I don't know. I'm getting older. I travel a whole lot.
Yeah.
It makes me forget stuff. I think, you know, menopause, there's a memory loss component to that as well. I'm 55 this year, so that's going on. And I've got to... a big body of work now, too. I've got 9 records. I've written probably 1,000 songs.
Wow.
I've got, you know, standards that I've been playing for 20 years that'll just blow out of my head, and I can't remember the second verse. I don't know how it works or doesn't work, but...
it's a lot to remember. I'm always amazed when somebody says, oh, I'm going to try this new song out, and it's something like... something with complex lyrics, you know, with multiple stanzas and choruses and things, and I don't know how people do that.
Well, if I get the first word of the line, the whole thing will come. If I lose that first word, the whole thing is gone. One attaches to the other. I know it works in some way like that.
Maybe that's all you need for cheat sheets, then, just a list of words.
The first word of each. That's kind of what this is on my guitar.
Oh, look at that.
It's
yeah.
first words, and it's also, I keep a list of where the capo goes on each song. It's a way of transposing keys, and I forget where the capo goes. I forget which key to sing it in, so I just write that down, and which key the harmonica is.
Ooh, that saves precious time when you're on stage,
oh,
so you're not
yeah.
fiddling around.
Oh, yeah. You know, a big part of the deal for me is to not take myself too seriously, yeah. too. It's like, look, you ain't been perfect yet. It ain't going to happen. You know, it's called live for a reason. Things can go terribly wrong. So that's part of the thrill of the walking the tightrope of being live. It's different than a studio where you can start over infinitely until it's just right.
That's right.
So anyway, this is back to where we were at the beginning. This is a song I wrote with Jamie Trent about Veterans Day. The ambivalence that so many of the soldiers I work with feel. They're very, very patriotic. They love our country, and yet there's a mixed feeling about where we're headed and what we've been doing, and particularly the way that we treat our veterans. We send them over there enthusiastically, and when they come back, we're not exactly there for them. In many, many ways, we leave them to their own devices, and we're dealing with a real crisis of veteran suicide right now, which is almost predictable, the cycle of how this works. So this talks about that. In some ways, it's a veteran sitting at Waffle House on Veterans Day. It's the 11th of November down in Nashville, Tennessee. Free breakfast at the Waffle House if I show my ID. A parade up on the riverfront, I can hear the trumpets play. Hands on hearts, the color guard kicks it off on Veterans Day. And they thank me for my service and wave their little flags. They genuflect on Sundays, and yes, they'd send us back, but I believe in God and country, and in the angels up on high, and in heaven shining down on us through bullet holes in the sky. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Waitress asked me how I'm doing, but I don't know what to say. I was thinking about the battlefield the night I learned to pray. Marchers make their way down Main Street, the crowd begins to cheer. I feel my chest explode and my eyes fill up with tears as they thank me for my service and wave their little flags. They genuflect on Sundays, and yes, they'd send us back, but I believe in God and country, and in the angels up on high, and in heaven shining down on us through bullet holes in the sky. Oh, mm-hmm. Jesus said, forgive them, they know not what they do. And he's here with me this morning, and his words still ring true. So I hang my head and pray for those we lost and those who remain. As the clouds burst over Nashville, it begins to rain. They thank me for my service, they wave those little flags. They genuflect on Sundays, and yes, they'd send us back, but I believe in God and country, and in the angels up on high, and in heaven shining down on us through bullet holes in the sky, and in heaven shining down on us through bullet holes in the sky. Oh,
powerful song. Mary Gaucher, thank you so much for coming in today, Mary.
It's my pleasure.
It's been an honor. Been an honor having you here. And look for Songwriting with Soldiers.
There you are.
That's a website. You can find some great music there. Family Wash on the 4th of July for a night of free speech for the First Amendment Center.
That's right.
First Amendment. With a great lineup.
Now more than ever, First Amendment, First Amendment, First Amendment.
That's right.
Might want to have a look at the 25th as well.
All right, we'll take a look at that. Well, thank you so much, Mary.
Thank y'all for what you do. Rifles and rosary beads, you hold on to what you need. Vicodin, morphine dreams, rifles and rosary beads, yellow smoke, orange haze, blowing into my eyes, whistling sunset bombs. I couldn't trust the sky. Rifles and rosary beads, you hold on to what you need. Vicodin, morphine dreams, rifles, rosary beads. That has no sound. Bombed out schools and homes. Kids in the street alone. With blood on his hands, brother, I'm not that man. Rifles and rosary beads, you hold on to what you need. Vicodin, morphine dreams, rifles and rosary beads. 5:30. Fix his drink, sit down in his chair, pick a fight with mama, complain about us kids getting in his hair. At night he'd sit alone and smoke. I'd see his frown behind his lighter's flame. Now that same frown's in my mirror. I got my daddy's blood inside my veins. Fish swim, birds fly. Daddy's yell, mama's cry. Old men sit and think. I drink.
I'm going on back down to New Orleans. right back where I started from. Cause Creole babies calling me, sitting beneath that pecan tree. I'm going on back down to New Orleans, ham hock grits and collard greens and red beans and rice.
Rock and roll, it's bam!
So sorry, no more.